Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well, and welcome back to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. It feels so weird saying that. Also, someone left a comment like, you didn't say hello, everybody. I hope you're all well. I'm so sorry. I was so, overwhelmed. But not even, I wasn't even necessarily overwhelmed. I think I was just really, really excited to, like, get into it because I had been working on this rebrand for, like, nearly 2 months. So, hello, everybody. I hope you're all well. Like, guys, I mean it with my chest. I really do. Thank you for all the love on the last episode. I am genuinely so, so overwhelmed. Sorry, I feel like something going on back here. Basically, I've propped up my rocking chair a bit closer to the like cupboards here, and I'm worried in case you can hear sort of like a... Let me move it slightly forward. 1 second, guys. I don't want to be too close to the camera. That's the only thing. Okay, all right. That's a little bit better. Sorry about that. Oh my gosh. Sorry, we're having teething problems. So thank you all for the love on the last episode. I'm genuinely so overwhelmed with how much you guys liked it. We're nearly at 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. So exciting. And for everyone, there was like 3 comments. For everyone complaining about the intro being too long, guys, it's a podcast. Like, the whole point is that you're meant to hear my complete stream of consciousness. Like, it's a whole like meme where it's like, after listening to a podcast for 10 minutes. So, like, let's actually get into it. Like, that's so me. That's so me vibes. But to be fair, I made the mistake of not putting timestamps on the last episode. So there will be timestamps on this one. So if you don't want to hear my genuine stream of consciousness, feel free to skip. So carrying on with the stream of consciousness, I've gone for a little bit of a natural makeup slay today. Because it's not like I'm not feeling the big lashes and liner and all that. I love that. It's so fun. I love my little e-girl makeup moment, you know, like I love it. But like, it's just a lot of effort. And sometimes I just want to go for a bit of a natural makeup. So, like, I'm literally wearing like full on Charlotte Tilbury Airbrush Flawless Foundation. I sat doing my makeup for like an hour and 10 minutes. I'm like, natural makeup slay. All because I'm not wearing eyeliner and like massive lashes. But I have, so originally I had just put mascara on because basically the whole reason why I started wearing false eyelashes was because I developed really, I've spoken about this in a podcast, it's about why I quit being vegan. But the whole reason I went vegan in the first place was because I had really severe eczema. To be fair, it wasn't like severe, but it was like quite bad. Like, I had it on my arms, my legs, my scalp. And then I also had it on my face, and especially bad on my eyelids. So I couldn't put a lot of mascara on because taking it off would irritate the eczema. And I'm not even joking, guys. It's called dermatitis when it's on your eyelids. My entire eyes would like swell shut. So there was ages that I couldn't wear any makeup. And then I started just like doing eyelashes, but don't use duo lash glue. Duo lash glue is actually really, really bad for you, apparently. I use the Kiss eyelash glue. I love it. Oh my God, look, me talking about de-influencing. I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, you have to get this eyelash glue. But we're not onto the de-influencing yet, so this doesn't count. So I started wearing false eyelashes and I never wore mascara. And to be fair, my eyelashes, like, how are my bottom lashes longer than my top ones? Like, what? Like, how is that fair? So my eyelashes are like, they're quite thick and they are quite dark, but they're very short and they're very straight. And I put on like a load of mascara. I use the Benefit Their Real like primer because it's really easy to get off and it's like a really nice sort of natural brown color. And I look cute. But then I found these half lashes. These are from Wildcat. Sorry, literally talking about de-influencing and I'm like here talking about all the makeup I'm wearing. I'm so sorry. This video is going to be full of hypocrisy, by the way, this podcast episode, but like, whatever. So I use like these Wildcat ones, and I don't know how I feel about half lashes because it sounds really stupid. this is the most stupid thing I ever said, but I was looking in the mirror and I was like, it looks half done. I was like, my half eyelashes, they look half done. Like, it just looks like, I always feel like the makeup would look better if I had like a full lash on, but I find it really difficult to find like nice full lashes that aren't either too natural or like too big. To be fair, the lashes that I wear every day are like really big and glam. They're like ones from Kiss. They're like the matte Matte Silk, I think they're called. They're from like the Matte collection. God, I feel like I'm literally sat here like I'm such a hypocrite. I'm talking about all this makeup stuff whilst doing a podcast episode about de-influencing. I just want to get you guys in on like what I use and stuff. I'm not trying to sell you anything, I swear. Anyways, so basically that's sort of the vibe I'm going for right now. And also I'm wearing this really nice jumper that I got off Vinted, £7. I think it's originally from like M&S or something. And I just feel like I look so wholesome and cute today. Someone needs to keep track on how much I talk about how cute I look in podcast episodes. Like, it's literally my toxic trait is that I always go, oh my gosh, guys, I look so cute today. But so got my Love Island water bottle. I just feel like I'm getting a bit delirious. I just feel like I'm literally like doing this episode about de-influencing and I've literally just named like 10 different companies and brands within the first 5 minutes. I'm literally a consumer. I hate it. I'm such a consumer. But my boyfriend's slamming the door. He's just coming in. Bear with. Hello. Sorry about that, guys. I had to Boosie, can you come in? I had to go and do something really quickly. Anyways, I cannot remember for the life of me where I was and what I was talking about. I feel like it was something to do with my eyelashes and my makeup, but oh well. Oh, can you? Sorry, the heater back here is ruining my aesthetic background. Ew! Sorry, I feel like this episode's been really chaotic. I woke up not really feeling like myself this morning because I think I'm just suffering from like a 2-day hangover. It's not, but you know, with the second day, where it's like, it's not truly a hangover because like I feel fine. I just have a horrible taste that I can't get out of my mouth and I feel really tired. Like, that's the kind of vibe that I've got going today. So I was thinking, I'm not going to do a podcast episode today, but I have to. I have to stay committed to this, guys. Yeah, no, so that's basically not even what I've been up to. Oh, does anyone want a Boots update? Okay, so Boots is, if you couldn't tell, she's out of her cage. Do you want to come up here? I'll pick you up. Oh, she's out of her cage and she's doing okay. So basically, do you want to get down? So if you couldn't tell, she's still sticking out her leg a bit and she's still limping on it a lot. But the thing is that like apparently it takes a while for like broken bones to heal, obviously. But I was getting really, really worried that they might have to like amputate it if it's not getting any better. But the thing is that she doesn't have like, she's not in pain. She's not meowing. Like, she's sleeping fine. She's purring loads. She's still gets the zoomies. I think that's what I'm more worried about, is that like I physically cannot stop her zoomies. She's such a hyperactive, like boisterous. I love referring to her as that. She's so boisterous. Like, she's such a boisterous little cat. Boisterous little cat. that like she gets the zoomies so often and I cannot stop her. And they're like, she's meant to rest. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I'm trying. I've bought the calming spray, which by the way, smells disgusting. Like, I thought it would smell like lavender. Maybe that was a bit like, maybe I was setting my expectations a bit too high, but I thought that it would smell like lavender or like something like that. But oh my god, Boots has put her entire head in my Ugg boot, and she's putting her arms in it. Boots, stop attacking my boot. Yeah, no, oh my god, I can't remember where I was. Sorry, this podcast episode is all over the place today. My brain isn't working properly and I'm just staring at Boots with her entire head in my Ugg. Oh yeah, the calming spray. This, I thought it was gonna smell like lavender, which maybe I was expecting a little bit too much because I got it. And first of all, I was like, this smells like the vets. Like, they must use so much of that stuff because I sprayed it and I was like, ooh, it smells like the vets and I'm not loving it. And the thing is, I did that thing where because I couldn't smell it, I sprayed loads of it and then the entire smell hit me in one go and it was disgusting. Like, it literally, my hair began to smell of the vets. And then now I feel, Lem thinks it smells a bit like fruity piss. And I think it smells more like fruity sick. Like, it has that sort of sicky kind of smell. So like, I was spraying it and even when I did spray it, it didn't fucking work. It didn't calm her down. So that wasn't great. But I think she's doing okay. I've got another appointment tomorrow with the vet, at the vet hospital all the way in Hendon. So I've got to get another Uber with you, Boots. I've got to get another Uber. Or a bowl. Oh, look, she's limping around. I usually, with my intros, I didn't do it last time because the intro was already 14 minutes long and I wanted to talk about like the rebrand and everything. But usually the way that I start my podcast is I start with TV show I'm watching, song I'm listening to, and book I'm reading, you know, just to set the mood. Like, it does, you guys enjoy it, but obviously you can skip if you want to get straight into the subject. But for me personally, it just gets me in like the role of talking, because like, it's not, I can't even say that I necessarily find doing a podcast on my own difficult, because like, look at me. Look, I'm thriving. Thriving. That doesn't sound right. Anyways, I feel like I'm quite good at it. But the thing is, it is difficult to keep the energy up when it's just you on your own. And not even necessarily difficult to keep the energy up. It's more difficult to get the energy going. But to be fair, keeping it up is difficult as well, especially when you're talking about the same thing. I begin to sort of teeter off and get a bit tired. But anyway, so TV show I'm watching. Watching The Last of Us. Haven't watched the final two episodes yet. But I mentioned that in a podcast episode a couple episodes ago. Also, The Walking Dead. I have been watching You. I really enjoy You. Like, and Lem always does this thing whenever I go, all right, we're gonna watch You, and he's like no, are we gonna watch You? And I'm like, stop. Like, he goes, me? No, you. Lem always does that. It's so annoying. I'm really enjoying this season, obviously, because it's set in London. I'm literally like, oh my god, like, he's Penn Badgley's in his flat. Like, it's so exciting. But the thing is, it is funny seeing especially everyone from like West London being like, if Joe was going to walk from Royal Holloway University back to Kensington, it would take him like 6 hours or something. But I am really enjoying it. I really like what they did with sort of like the class, like conversations and stuff like that. Like, I like that they made it about like obscenely rich, annoying people. Like, I really, really like it. And then also, not a movie, but me and Lem did watch The Hunger Games Catching Fire recently. And I watched the first one years ago, and I remember what happened. And I read the first two books as well. I never finished the last book. But oh my gosh, so good. Jennifer Aniston, bye. Jennifer Lawrence was acting her ass off in that movie. I kind of miss that sort of YA era, because like, people sort of look down on YA, but like, these casts were star-studded, full of really good actors, apart from Liam Hemsworth, full of really good actors. And I've actually been watching this person on TikTok doing like Hunger Games analysis, and they did a lot of BoJack Horseman analyses, which is one of my favorite shows. It's literally how bad that BoJack Horseman is my comfort show. Like, I actually, I told my therapist, I was like, have you watched BoJack Horseman? And he was like, boots. I was like, have you watched BoJack Horseman? And he was like, no, I haven't. And I was like, you know what? You probably won't want to, because it's going to be a bit of a busman's holiday for you. But yeah, no, so I watched Hunger Games Catching Fire, and I've been watching these TikToks. I'll put their name on the screen because they're so good. About like all this analysis and stuff, and the difference between like the books and the films. The books were obviously so much better, like, especially when you hear about all the different details and stuff. Song I'm listening to a lot of Sugar Babes. Love the Sugar Babes. I have been listening to Make Me, This Night Has Opened My Eyes by The Smiths. Such a depressing song, but so good. And then I've also been listening to a lot of Azealia Banks. And sorry, Boots has got the zoomies and she's sticking her leg out. She has like her little permanent sticky outy leg is so cute. And then book I'm reading. I'm literally not reading any books right now, guys, because my ADHD. And I know I've got to say things like, oh, like, I don't know if I have ADHD yet because I haven't gotten an assessment yet, because they're like £1,000 and the wait list is like 3 years long in the UK to get an ADHD diagnosis. And I know I'm meant to be like, well, but I might not have it. Guys, I so have it. Like, I know that I have it. Like, I remember when I read the symptoms, I literally felt like my entire life made sense. But I have like I have more of the inattentive ADHD, which is the ADHD which shows more often in women and girls. But yeah, no, my ADHD has been kicking my ass at the moment. I feel like I just can't read any books, even though I really, really want to. But what I have been doing is I have been playing my 3DS, as you guys know in my last episode. And what I have been playing is a little bit of Cooking Mama 2. So good. I know what's so great about playing all my DS games now that I'm older, especially Cooking Mama, it actually all makes sense to me. Like, it's all real recipes and stuff. Like, I know what all the ingredients are now. Sorry, I'm so hungry right now, and I'm going to have to drink water to subside my hunger. I was about to say my hungriness. My hunginess, mean when I'm Charlie Puth, my hunginess. I'm so hungry right now. But in today's episode of Voice Notes with Jawn Teresa, we are chatting all about de-influencing, a trend which has taken TikTok by storm. It's taken TikTok by storm. So I just wanted to have a nice, open, fun discussion about it today and why I feel like my insight is maybe interesting, probably not, is because I am an influencer. So yes, welcome to Voice Notes with Jawn Teresa. Just realized I didn't write my intro down, so I'm just going to wing it, where I, YouTube extraordinaire Jawn Teresa, chat all things my life, pop culture, internet trends, reality TV, and so much more. I hope I got that right. So I feel like the first thing I want to talk about is like my relationship with being an influencer. So I originally wanted to make a YouTube video about de-influencing and like the rise of de-influencing, but I realized that you guys would come for my neck, like, because it would probably be sponsored. So I was like, imagine me like, so today we're talking about de-influencing, but first let's talk about Intamina. You guys should so buy these period cups. And by the way, it's love Intamina still. But do you know what I mean? Like, you guys would absolutely come for my neck. Oh my gosh, I'd never hear the end of it. So I thought my podcast is my safe space. So I thought that I would, sorry, my cat. I thought that I would talk about it on my podcast. I feel like, yeah, no, let's talk about me being an influencer. So I never really describe myself as an influencer, and I worry that talking about the ways that, guys, I'm not like your typical influencer. I sound like a pick-me influencer. Like, I am your typical influencer. Nearly all of my videos on my main channel are sponsored, and it's me trying to get you guys to buy something. You know, like, I am an influencer, but I just don't use the term influencer because I don't feel like an influencer, I guess. I don't know. It's difficult to say. Whenever people ask me what I do, I say that I'm a YouTuber. I should add podcaster to the list. I'm a YouTuber and I have a podcast. But yeah, no, I never really like describe myself as an influencer because I don't feel like an influencer. I guess I sort of associate influencers with like, sort of, you know, like I think of influencers like TikTok or Instagram influencers. You know, like I think of like the posting, you know, a new outfit every day, being really active on your stories, being really active on like TikTok and, you know, using all like the trending audios and stuff. That's what I associate with an influencer. I guess what I'm sort of trying to say is I associate short form content with being an influencer. But just because I, in my brain, associate short form content with being an influencer doesn't take away from the fact that I am an influencer. I think that I would never call myself a content creator. That gives me the ick so badly. But sorry, my brain isn't working today. It hasn't been working for like the whole weekend. So I'm reading off my notes really quickly. But you know, I do fear that I'm giving off like I'm not like the other influencers vibes by being like, I don't feel like an influencer. But the thing is that like, this, just because I say that I associate influencers with like short form content doesn't mean that I think influencers are bad. Like, I follow so many influencers. I love influencers. Also, like, I do feel like some influencer critique is rooted in misogyny, because so many female influencers, they get like stick. Like, they get like, there's so much hard, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, they're criticized a lot more than like their male counterparts. We don't even see male sort of influencers like Jamie Lang or Stephen Bartlett. We don't even see them as influencers, but they are influencers. But the thing is, we only sort of see women who are like into makeup and fashion as influencers, which I do feel like is rooted in a little bit of misogyny. But again, like, as I said, I don't think there's anything bad about being an influencer. Like, I am an influencer. But back onto sort of me being an influencer. Obviously, like, I am so grateful for my job. I don't know why I'm getting anxiety talking about this. I have like anxiety, like day two hangover anxiety. I don't know why I'm feeling anxious talking about this, but I'm so grateful for my job and I'm so grateful for you guys and I love my job. I think the de-influencing trend has really helped me sort of reflect on like my influence with myself being my oh, for fuck's sake, my relationship with myself being an influencer. Oh my gosh. Sorry, my brain isn't working properly today. But it's been a good way to sort of reflect on like my relationship with being an influencer. And I thought like a fun way to, I guess, kick off this discussion would be like to talk about all the brand deals that I've turned down. I'm not going to name like any specific brands, but I do want to sort of talk about the brand deals that I have personally turned down. Not to be like, oh my gosh, guys, look, I'm not like these other influencers, because I know loads of influencers turn down brand deals all the time. And this isn't to say that the people who take on these brand deals that I turned down are like the bad people and like, look at me, I'm so much better than them. I just thought it would be interesting, you know, like maybe sort of like get a little, like, I guess, look into sort of what it's like to be an influencer and the sort of brand deals that you get offered and stuff, because it is really interesting. You know, I feel like I'm like pretty, I'm pretty good at sort of like figuring out like what brand deals I want to do and what brand deals I don't want to do. One thing I do want to work on is like making it better interwoven with my videos, because sometimes my sponsor and like my video topic can feel like a little bit disconnected maybe. So that's something which I do actually want to improve on. But yeah, no, let's actually talk about all the brand deals that I've turned down. This isn't meant to be like, oh my gosh, guys, see like all the brand deals that I, because I am going to make mistakes when it comes to brand deals, you know, like it's, I'm a human, but like, this is, I don't know why I'm rambling so much. Brand deals I've turned down. So first of all, we all know I turned down any fast fashion brand deal because I don't want to work with fast fashion companies. And you'd be surprised the amount of, because fast fashion companies, I'm sure, basically message influencers en masse. I think that's the way that you say it. So they never ever look into it. I had an offer from Pretty Little Thing, and I've done nothing but slag them off like all the time. And they offered me, like, I don't know what they offered me. It was with my old manager. But, you know, they wanted to work with me. And I was actually like, what? Like, what? So I turned down all fast fashion. I also turned down a majority of mobile game apps because I just don't use them. The ones that I do use is I use Two Dots. I love Wordscapes. I love Wordscapes and any Wordscape adjacent game. Lem loves it as well. I think he's literally, I'm not even, guys, I'm not being overdramatic when I say this. Like, I mean it. I think Lem is on like level 3000 of Wordscapes. Like, he's obsessed. And then another one, which I really, really doubt that they would ever ask for a sponsorship, but there is this really niche Find the Difference app on the App Store, and it's like a Russian app. I think like all the writing is in Russian. It's all writing in Russian. I think that some of it's translated, but a lot of the writing is in Russian. But it's so good. And basically it was like my anxiety game. Like, whenever I feel anxious, I play the Find the Difference game because it really gives me something to focus on and calms down my anxiety. Like, literally I've been playing that game since I got really bad anxiety when I was like 19. So how old am I now? 24. So 5 years, and I completed the first app, and they had a sequel app. So now I play the sequel app whenever I feel anxious. Love it. So good. I think if you literally just search Find the Difference, it will come up on the App Store. All the pictures are so detailed. It's literally so good, but I doubt that they'd ever want to sponsor me. But yeah. So if I ever get sponsored by my niche Russian Find the Difference app, then you know that I use it, okay? It was there for me when no one else was. Like, so what other ones have I turned down? So I turned down a majority of skincare brands as well, because I have really picky like skin. I have quite sensitive skin because of my past with my eczema. And also, I remember, this is like a bit more of a specific one, but this was like years ago when I was still living at home. I had this brand reach out to me, and they wanted me to make a video about the history of women's hair removal, but then they wanted it to be sponsored by their hair removal product. I was just like, sorry. I was like, what? Like, doesn't make any sense. Any sense. Like, I'm literally thinking like, oh my God, no, the girls would come for me. They would come for my neck. Like, I would look so stupid. I was like, no, like, I don't want to do that. And they, guys, I still have never been offered this much for a brand deal. They offered me $10,000 to do it. And I was literally like, no, I'm literally just going to look stupid. So yeah, those are brand deals I turned down. I don't know why I feel like that's related to de-influencing, but I guess it's sort of to get you guys, maybe give you guys a little bit of insight on sort of what brand deals I get like offers from and stuff, and what ones I take and what ones I don't. So let's actually talk about de-influencing now. We're like 20 minutes in, so let's actually get into it. So de-influencing, it basically means what it says on the tin. It's quite difficult to find like the actual origins of de-influencing, because it did just like grow on TikTok, and the hashtag now has like tens of millions of views. I'm pretty sure hundreds of millions of views. And de-influencing basically means what it says on the tin, is to stop you from buying stuff. So a lot of products which influencers are, you know, trying to sell to you, these TikToks sort of be like, hey, you don't need this stuff. Basically, they're de-influencing you from it. So you were influenced to buy something, boom, now you're de-influenced by it and you don't want it anymore. It's a pretty trendy name. I like it. So I think that there's like a multitude of different reasons. I love saying that. That's actually like my catchphrase. As to why de-influencing blew up when it did. So I feel like the first thing is like influencer fatigue. I've spoken about influencer fatigue in my YouTube video, Death of the Influencer. I'll leave it linked down below if you guys want to watch it. So basically like influencer fatigue, a lot of people are experiencing where like the influencer industry just feels extremely repetitive. And not only does it feel repetitive, but it also feels like everyone is constantly trying to sell you something. And I know that this podcast episode is going to seem hypocritical because all of my videos are sponsored, but like, guys, this podcast episode is hypocritical. I'm an influencer talking about de-influencing. So obviously take all of this with a grain of salt, a pinch of salt. It does just feel like influencers are constantly trying to sell you stuff. So I feel like a lot of people just got influencer fatigue in the sense of repetition and, you know, people trying to sell you stuff. Also the rise of like people talking more about sustainability and anti-consumerism, because a big part about sustainability is how much we consume. And it's not just based in like fast fashion, like I spoke about in my last YouTube video. It's also like based in how much, you know, how much waste makeup causes, and no one ever really talks about it. Makeup and skincare causes so much waste. So like from a sustainability standpoint, and also from an anti-consumer standpoint, where it's like, you know, buying all this stuff isn't going to make you happy. Shopping is actually addictive, and all the sort of dopamine rushes that you get from shopping does create like a repetition of addiction. So things like that. And also I feel like the, I cannot believe I'm going to say this, the stupid Michaela mascara drama really set this one off as well. Some of you guys might not be on TikTok and might not know what happened. I'm not going to stay on this for too long because like it has been spoken about so much, but there is this makeup influencer called Michaela Noguera, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, where she did an ad for L'Oreal mascara, but put on false eyelashes on the ad. And then when people were asking her if she'd put on a strip lash in the comments, she said no. And she never addressed it. She just sort of like went off TikTok for 2 weeks and then just came back and acted like nothing happened really. She was making like a few jokes about it and stuff. So I feel like that really cemented like people's distrust in influencers, especially because like, and again, I'm not going to stay on this for too long, but Michaela was sort of seen as an like a really sort of humble, down to earth influencer that people really trusted. So to have her of all people like lie and like stick on a false eyelash for a mascara ad definitely rubbed people up the wrong way. So that's why I feel like the sort of de-influencing side of de-influencing rose is like a side effect of people's distrust for influencers, and also people's like sort of craving for authenticity, which can be really hard to find. Another thing which I feel like I have personal beef with TikTok Shop. I don't know about you guys, but I hate it. And I know that I have a pair of lashes from TikTok Shop on the way, but that is not the point, okay? That's not the point. TikTok Shop is so annoying. I feel like every single one of my TikToks on my For You page is for TikTok Shop. And look, I'm obviously not against like people linking products for TikTok Shop if they're doing a makeup tutorial. But the thing is that like, how like the like people do TikTok Shop because when you buy through someone's link, they get a commission. I tried to find out the commission for it and I genuinely couldn't find out. But like, so there's one thing sort of doing a makeup tutorial or like doing a haul video and linking all the things that you got. But why do I keep seeing TikTok after TikTok of someone telling me that, you know, the Tatcha powder puff is back in stock? Like, I love the Tatcha powder puff. I literally have one. But I don't, like, why is actually every single, like, beauty guru making a TikTok about how it's back in stock? Or, like, the Made by Mitchell liquid blushes? Or, again, the Pink Honey face frosting is back in stock? And I'm glad that these makeup companies are succeeding because I know that Pink Honey and Tatcha are all, like, small businesses. So, like, obviously I'm happy about that. And I had the Pink Honey like brow thing and I liked it. Yeah, no, why are people just making repetitive TikTok after repetitive TikTok of like powder puffs or like those cat eye eyelashes? Like, it's annoying. Like, I completely understand doing a makeup tutorial and linking it, but don't just make an entire TikTok about how, you know. And the thing is, it's not even like I just see one. It's literally I'll scroll and it'll be like every single TikTok is just like, oh, the Tatcha powder puff is back in stock. I don't care. Like, I literally don't care. Or rosemary oil. Why am I getting so many ads for rosemary oil? Like, if the amount of times, guys, that I get ads for rosemary oil, I don't want to grow my hair out. Like, the whole point with my hair is because I bleach it. I don't want it to grow. I want my roots. And I click, like, not interested because it's like, I don't want to buy rosemary oil. Like, good for you. If you want to buy your rosemary oil and grow your hair out, great. But why is every single ad, like, an ad for rosemary oil or the viral TikTok bodysuit? Leave me alone. Oh my gosh, I remember the worst week of TikTok Shop was absolutely the week that it first launched, because every single ad was just like, oh my gosh, guys, look at these cargos on TikTok Shop. Give it a rest. Oh my God. So I feel like the rise of TikTok Shop definitely contributed to it, because like people, like there was just sort of this like frustration with TikTok, like because it does just feel like you're now that with the introduction of TikTok Shop, it feels like you are constantly being sold to, and it's so annoying. Sorry, I don't know why I had personal beef with TikTok Shop, but anyway, so I thought a fun thing to do was I would sort of talk about my personal de-influencing list, a few things that I want to de-influence you guys from buying. So the first thing is, I don't feel like anyone needs more than one pair of the same shoes, but in a different color. Like, I spoke about this in the de-influencing TikTok that I made, but I have like the camel Uggs. I love them. Wear them all the time. Obviously, you can't go out in them when it's like chucking it down with rain. But I do love my Uggs. And I don't necessarily really wish because I love them, but like, I really love the chocolate brown ones. I think that they are so nice. I think that they match with loads as well. I know I'd get a lot of use out of them, but I don't need more than one pair of Uggs. You know, or I was looking at, I have the New Balances, the blue ones. I was looking at like the green ones and I was like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. I don't need more than one colorway of a New Balance shoe. You know, like, you don't need it. So next one, multi-packs of liquid blushes. Guys, do you know how long it takes to get through one liquid blusher? And a lot of the time, liquid blushes kind of look the same. You know, like, I feel like liquid, like, of course, there's like difference between like oranges. Sorry, my cat's litter tray is going. Anyways, so the litter tray has stopped. So I feel like unless you are a makeup artist and you need like a kit for clients or shoots, you do not need more than a handful of liquid blushes because you won't get through them. They'll dry up because they're liquid. And I feel like these really wide shade ranges of liquid blushes, because obviously there's a difference between like pink and orange and like a dark red. But the whole reason why these liquid blushes have such wide shade ranges is so they could cater to all skin tones. You don't need a multi-pack of like liquid blushes because you aren't going to get through them. Like, you literally aren't. So, and also, like, I see people, like, on TikTok that, again, I feel like it sounds like I have beef with Pink Honey. I actually don't. I really like some of their stuff. But why are there TikToks of people who have, like, who aren't makeup artists, but have, like, five shades of the Pink Honey, like, face frosting stuff? Like, you aren't gonna... Also, that stuff is huge. It's huge. Like, it's a really, really big pot. You aren't gonna get through it. Like, you don't need it. You aren't going to get through it. It's just going to sit. And then you're going to buy something, a different bronzer. You know, I'm on the firm belief that you don't need any more than, like, two of each product. Like, I used to be so massively into makeup. Now, not so much. I don't really care for it. Like, I don't even enjoy doing my makeup. I find it the most jarring thing, and I find it extremely boring. Like, I have to put on some sort of, like, TV show. Like, even if I'm listening to a podcast, I get so bored. Like, I have to put on a TV show so I can watch it at the same time whilst doing my makeup. But I used to massively, massively be into makeup. And I have, like, all of my makeup fits in two makeup bags. I feel like I've been very successfully been, like, de-influenced from makeup. And as someone who basically just uses, I wear makeup like two or three times a week, I wear makeup like two times a week, and you do not need more than two of the same of the sort of same like product. Like, I have two foundations, one for when I have fake tan on, one for when I don't. I have, again, two concealers. I have I think I have like four blushes or something. And two of them got sent to me like a few years ago. So yeah, no, like, you don't need, you know, you aren't gonna get through this stuff, you know? And makeup has an expiry date, especially the liquid stuff. It just, like, dries out. And then another thing, sorry, I stayed on that for so long. Another thing is anything from Motel. Obviously, like, I'm anti-fast fashion anyway, and I don't buy fast fashion anymore. But Motel is just, like, it's so expensive, and the quality is terrible. And what will get you about Motel, I have personal beef with Motel. What will get you about Motel is that when it arrives, the quality actually seems okay. Like, I bought a pair of jeans from them not long ago. I loved them. I loved them. They were so nice. And I bought a pair of jeans, and then I was like, oh my gosh, great. Like, I've been looking for a pair of jeans that I like and that are comfortable for a really long time. So I bought them in, like, the lighter blue. So I had dark blue and light blue. I feel like everyone needs light blue jeans, dark blue jeans, boom, I won't need to buy any more jeans for the next couple of years. I washed them, guys, they went crunchy. Oh, and the thing is, like, I bought the second pair before I'd washed the first pair because I was so happy with them and I knew I'd get so much use out of them, and they went crunchy. So annoying. They were £50. I spent £100 on jeans and they went crunchy. Oh my god, I've never forgive Motel for that. And also, they had these the parachute pants that they released look so bad. Like, I sound like such a bitch, but I have, like, actual personal beef with the parachute pants from Motel because they were £50 there now. I remember the last time I checked, because I did it for, like, my de-influencing TikTok. The last time I checked, they were on sale for like 25, but these parachute pants were £50 and they looked like they were genuinely made of, like, paper. Like, they were so thin and flimsy. And the problem is with really thin clothing is that it gets creased really easily. So, like even in, like, the shoot pictures, they looked creased and it was just like £50. Oh my gosh, I will never get over that. And then, is there anything else? Oh yeah, so my last thing is a 10-step skincare routine. So again, maybe this is biased because, like, I have sensitive skin, and also, like, I don't really have, like, a firm skincare routine because of my sensitive skin. Like, I wash my face and I moisturize it and I put sunscreen on. That's it. But, like, I also have, like, ADHD, so I can't really, like, I just can't bring myself to do a proper skincare routine. So maybe this is jealousy, but I just feel like less is more. I feel like no one needs a 10-step skincare routine. And also, collecting skincare products, especially the really expensive ones. And I feel like skincare has had a really big boom since, like, the clean girl trend. So skincare had, like, a really, really big boom. And people are, like, collecting all these skincare products. And it's like, how is your entire, like, under the sink of your bathroom packed full of skincare? Because the worst part about skincare is, look, makeup, expiry date, schmexpiry date. Like, it doesn't apply, you know? Like, I have makeup, which I have had, like, sat in my two makeup bags for years. Like, since I was at school, you know, I left school 7 years ago and I still have like blushes and eyeshadow palettes, and I'm not going to throw it away because it works and I seem to be doing fine. But the thing is that, like, with skincare, you know, it's sinking into your pores. You don't want to use skincare past the expiry date. Like, that's where I draw the line at expiry days. So you don't want to, like, use skincare past its expiry date. And, like, then you just end up throwing it all away. It's such... Not only is it a waste, like, when it comes to, like, throwing out plastic into landfill, it's also a waste when it comes to, like, how much money have you spent on that skincare? And it's already expired. Like, it literally makes me feel so gutted. So back onto sort of the subject of de-influencing, I feel like something which is really important that de-influencing brings awareness to is it brings awareness to the fact that you cannot consume on the same rate as an influencer. Like, you cannot, you know, influencers that are doing, you know, trying out new products on TikTok or doing haul videos every day, you cannot consume at the same rate as them, because first of all, their consumption is like their job. Like, even me to an extent, my job is consuming, you know, and their job is to consume this stuff and tell you guys all about it. So you can't be consuming at the same rate as them. First of all, they can, let's use Beauty Gurus for example, every single makeup product they can buy, they can write it off as a tax expense, and then, or a business expense rather. And then also they get sent so much stuff for free. And I found that when I've been getting into like fashion recently, as we all know, I've been getting into fashion. And I found that like I would have these urges, like when watching haul videos and trend videos from fashion influencers and YouTubers, that I would like get this urge to buy more stuff. And then I realized that, like, even though they would always disclaim like, oh, I've actually been sent this stuff, like they were all really nice, I'm not like slagging off like fashion YouTubers or anything, but like I would feel the urge to try and consume on the same level as them when like it's just like it's not beneficial to me because they've been sent so much of this stuff for free. I feel like our perception of like what normal consumption is and what normal consumption looks like has been really heavily skewed by influencers. I also think that de-influencing has brought up a really important discussion about overconsumption, especially overconsumption when it comes to makeup. It actually reminds me of the YouTube video that I made about the excessive makeup collections of the 2010s and like how insane these makeup collections were and how much makeup people had that they were never, ever, ever going to get through. And, you know, makeup literally causes so much waste. And the thing is that I don't necessarily think that de-influencing is going to solve like the bigger issues at hand, but I do actually think it's a step in the right direction. I think that people are being a little bit negative about de-influencing when they're like, it's technically still influencing. Yeah, but so what? Like, it's still, I still think it's something which is really interesting and it's really fun. I do think that the de-influencing trend is fun because it's fun to sort of see people's opinions on what we don't need. Like, I really, really enjoy it. My favorite de-influencing TikToker is at Michelle Skidelsky on TikTok. I really, really like her de-influencing videos because she used to be like a Glossier girly. She says that she was part of the Glossier cult and that she used to buy so much stuff from Glossier. So she started out doing like, these are things from Glossier that you don't need, as like an ex-Glossier cult member. I highly recommend it. She's really, really good. So in my opinion, I feel like de-influencing for me is like weeding out the products that you don't need and bringing awareness to the fact that you cannot consume on the same level as an influencer whose job it is to consume. Sorry, my brain really, really isn't working today and I'm like stressing out about it. But some other de-influencing videos that I've seen is I've actually seen people sort of say like, oh, like recommend sort of a cheaper alternative. And although a lot of people don't like these in a sense where it's not de-influencing because you are influencing someone to buy another product, I actually really like this side of de-influencing. I think it's nice to recommend like a cheaper alternative. But yeah, no, the whole sort of debate of whether like it's influencing or is it not, of course it's influencing. Anyone who posts anything on the internet has influence, no matter how big or small. So like, of course, de-influencing is still influencing, but I do think that it is like a step in the right direction. And like, it is nice to you know, oh, I'm losing my train of thought, never mind. Like, recommending a cheaper alternative, it is still influencing, but I feel like it's still a form of de-influencing when you're sort of on like a social media site where all the sort of influencers are pushing like really expensive products onto you. But to have someone say, oh, you actually don't need this, you can actually buy this for cheaper, that is a form of de-influencing. Like, I'm sorry, maybe you guys will disagree with me. I'd love to know your thoughts, actually. But yeah, no, I don't really like the criticism that de-influencing is technically still influencing. I just find it a little bit jarring, and I just find it sort of like trying to, like, of course I'm more than aware that de-influencing is not going to fix any bigger issues at hand, but I do think it is a step in the right direction, and it's like important to bring awareness to what normal consumption actually looks like. But there is another sort of form of de-influencing video that I have grown to really, really dislike, and I am kind of guilty of doing this in my de-influencing TikTok, so hey, I'm criticizing myself. But people are sort of getting de-influencing mixed up with like products that they don't like. You know, for me personally, de-influencing is about rooting out stuff that you do not need and bringing awareness to your consumption and trying to ground your consumption. But then, like, a lot of beauty gurus on TikTok basically jumped on the trend because they saw that it was getting loads of views and would be like, oh, I hate this product, it sucks, la 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 la. And like, I also did that in my TikTok, so like, I might take my TikTok down now. But like, I also did that. But the thing is that like, saying that you don't like a product is not the same as de-influencing. Like, you aren't making any criticism on overconsumption. It's not de-influencing. And it's like, it's especially sort of like, I feel like it goes, it must, like, it doesn't surprise me that de-influencing went over people's heads when, like, a lot of these beauty gurus, every single other one of their TikToks would be an ad for TikTok Shop, but then they would do a de-influencing video. It's like, of course it went over your head, you know? You know, these sort of, like, types of de-influencing videos remind me of sort of a lot of the products that aren't worth the hype videos that were so popular on YouTube. And also de-influencing kind of reminds me of anti-hauls, but I feel like anti-hauls were a bit less based in sort of influencer criticism. I feel like there's almost like this battle in like the de-influencing hashtag where people are sort of having a battle of like products they hated versus products that you don't actually need. And the thing is, you can hate a product and also say that you don't need it. But if you're literally just doing, oh my God, de-influencing you, these are products that I hate, and then your next TikTok is like an ad for TikTok Shop, and then the one after that is another ad for TikTok Shop, like, maybe you actually missed the point of what de-influencing actually is. I think I might end the episode soon because like, I am truly, truly running out of steam, and this was like sort of just like a small conversation because there isn't really that many sort of like sources or like opinions on this like trend, and maybe I'll revisit it. Sorry, I'm really not happy with this podcast episode. I'm so sorry. I'm just not, like, my brain isn't working properly today. But a really interesting phenomenon is like, people who create de-influencing content, like, should they take brand deals? This is where it gets kind of sticky. Because, you know, I feel like as soon as people hear the word brand deal, there's almost like this innate sort of distrust, and like, you feel like it's not authentic because they're being paid for it. And obviously, every brand deal that I take, I genuinely believe in, and I either use it myself or I know it's a good product. And, you know, I totally understand where people's apprehensions come from. So like, should people that make de-influencing TikToks take brand deals? I'm always going to be pro brand deal because you got to make that money. I am always going to be pro brand deal, but I can understand how an audience who, you know, what happens when the de-influencers eventually turn into influencers? You know, it's interesting. It makes you think. I would love to know your thoughts. I'm really sorry that this was a bit of a short episode. I think I've been filming for like maybe an hour. I don't know. It feels like a short episode. I am really, really sorry. There wasn't really a lot to this, but I guess like, there's going to be these more sort of casual episodes as well. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed making this. I'm just feeling a little bit self-conscious, but yes, I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks for a new episode. Bye.